Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard and welcome back from the weekend. Today is the Major League Baseball trading deadline, and some action over the weekend, but not much to talk about. But in the meantime, today's show is being brought to you by BarkBox, BarkBox.com, and of course, you can get a free extra month at BarkBox.com if you go to www.getbarks.com/TheBubba Show. And of course, that's take care of your dog, sends treats and toys and all kinds of things on a monthly basis. So go check it out. In the meantime, we did say that it is the trading deadline. And of course, who in the hell knows what's going to happen. But more importantly, what's the trading deadline in the markets? They continue to magically appear and to go higher. And they continue to magically destruct the overall middle class. It's an amazing story when you think back and you look at it. The overall rally that is A, pretty ugly, B, being driven by about five stocks. And of course, you know, one of the signs that I would be concerned about, not concerned if I owned the stock, but one of the signs I'd be concerned about is you take a look at a stock like Boeing. You know, one of the largest capitalized companies in the world, and they go up 12% in 2 days. Now they already were at all-time highs, right? So now you add in an additional 12%, and Boeing since May, okay, is up almost 40%. Okay, think about that for a minute. When you think about these companies, they do not move like that. 40% moves in companies of that size do not happen. That would be like GE going up 40%. These conglomerate types of places. So all of a sudden you're seeing, the leaps and bounds of trading. It becomes a spot that you got to start to wonder. And again, we can't call the top of the market. We can't say, well, it's over. But certainly you have to start to look at some of these and say, geez, what could possibly be driving a company of this size to those levels? Okay. And that, I think, is something that becomes, again, a concern from just a number standpoint. Again, where did they get the buying power to buy it up there, right? That's what we're looking at. I mean, again, markets do what they do, and we're not telling you they can't go higher. What I'm saying to you is that, the company that's a $140 billion company, okay, is going up like it's going up like a Netflix or an Amazon, okay? I mean, it's like unbelievable when you think about the way that these things have gone up. It's kind of incredible. And that's, I think, something that, again, to me rings off some red flags, right? It's not a high flyer. I know that Amazon's bigger in market cap, but that's because of their pricing. But it's amazing. I'm beyond words, okay, because It's just unbelievable when you look at it. I mean, it's going up like a tech stock. And of course, this is, again, just another potential warning sign that something could be slightly amiss. Now, we can't do anything about it. We can't predict that it's over. But again, when the big monsters start going up, like you know, little stocks, all of a sudden you should start to think about, well, maybe, okay, because again, it's simply not a mathematical probability as to what's going on, and Boeing doesn't have, you know, they've got a very small short float of about 2%, which, you know, short floats will help drive markets. And, you know, it's incredible. I find it, you know, amazing. But again, that's the market. So we're not fighting the market. And we have to quit trying to convince ourselves that the market should go lower. Just like, you know, things change and all of a sudden, you know, some of the gold all of a sudden was 1200 and the world was coming to an end. And now it's 1275 and now we're back to, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. And those are the things that you look at when you're looking at the market. And again, this is why you cannot overposition yourself for one side or the other. I mean, the truth of the matter is, as much as I don't think the market has much room to go, you could only really be, if you're going to take a big position that has the least amount of risk, would be buying here. Because there's no reason, other than we know that it's overdone, that it can't go up. But again, it can go up a lot longer than we think it can go up. And I think that's the bigger problem that we seem to forget about is how fast they can go up. Now, I think you're starting to see some of these P.E. ratios are way overstated. You know, if you look at some of the classic numbers, and I was reading something the other day that these are the highest levels since 2000 and then going back to 1929. Now, I know by the pure numbers, they're not necessarily that. But even a stock like Boeing that probably historically is at a 16 or 15 is at a 22 P.E. ratio. Okay. So, you know, basically, it becomes something that we'd have to think about and look at, because it would be something that would be, you know, somewhat troublesome in the bigger picture. All right, and that's kind of what I'm saying to you, is that, you know, as much as I want to say, you know, things aren't look good, we're going down, I really can't say that. Why? Because they keep going up. So if they keep going up, how can I tell you that they're going down? And that becomes the bigger deal. All right. We have to be, you know, very cautious in here, not looking for something that's unusual. We've got, you know, Apple earnings this week. We've got a few big earnings this week. And one day we'll see a rollover. But again, the question is when. And certainly I can't. I wish I could tell you that. All right. But anyways, in the meantime, this is being brought to you by BarkBox, BarkBox.com. And for you listeners of the Bubba Show, you can go to BarkBox is offering a free opportunity to receive one free extra month. And of course, some of the things that they do is they got dog treats. They set a theme collection every month with two innovative toys and two all-natural bags of treats. A chew toy and some other things for your pooch. So make sure you check them out. And of course, to receive one free month, go to getbarkbox.com/thebubbashow. Again, that's getbarkbox.com/thebubbashow to receive an extra month of BarkBox for free. In the meantime, go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge. And of course, don't forget Bubba's Bottom Line. Fresh this week. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after this. The Bubba Show.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one person that always brings good things to life, not like Jeffrey Immelt of GE, but Jane King of Lila Max Media. She always brings good things. What's up, Jane King?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. So how was Ireland? Tell us about the trip. I know you figured out a way to write it off. You must have interviewed the bride or the groom or something like that.
it actually was a business colleague, so I can always look her way, trying to get a tax benefit there. Ireland is lovely. We flew into Dublin. Dublin has terrible Wi-Fi, so I was disappointed in that. But the wedding was actually in Cork, Ireland, in the southern part, and that was just really nice, really beautiful. And then we spent a day in Kilkenny. They had like the party the day after in Kilkenny. One of the people at the wedding party has a big pub there out in the middle of nowhere. But it was just a blast. And the people of Ireland are extremely friendly. And it was just a really, really nice time. But it's great to be back. We came back into Newark, and the big sign said, "Welcome to the United States of America," when you walk in through customs, and that was awesome.
Now, how would you look at the economy out there? I know you weren't shopping around, but did it look like they were in good shape, bad shape? If you were to make a guess, what would be your view?
Well, it's kind of hard to tell because we were only in Dublin about a half day, and we went to this pub that was built in the year 1198. It's called the Brazen Head. It's supposedly the oldest pub in Ireland, and it was very cool and packed. But the parts of Dublin that we walked around were kind of dreary. And then with the rest of the time, we were in rural agricultural areas. Tons of agriculture there, by the way. I mean, livestock, like cows and sheep, and I saw corn and tobacco. And so we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere, so it's really hard for me to tell exactly how the economy is going. The train stations were very busy, I can say that.
All right. And, of course, we got the news that the health care is not going to pass. And are you shocked? And do you have any comments on it?
Well, my first instinct when I heard the vote early this morning, like at 2 a.m., was that, I think we're a step closer to single payer. I mean, they just cannot seem to get any bill done in Washington and passed that actually reforms the system. And I was fortunate to hear this interview with a person who's very knowledgeable about Obamacare and the repeal, and talked about how it didn't really address, like, didn't add telemedicine, which is a great way to save money, and didn't do anything about the cross-border issues, the cross-state issues that we have that are keeping costs higher. So, maybe the bill wasn't even that great to begin with, but I don't think they're serious about really passing healthcare reform. I don't know if it's the insurance lobby. I don't know exactly what is happening here, but it's disappointing. But it sounds like they presented a bill that really wasn't what it should have been, and that made people comfortable to vote for it. So I don't know. I mean, it delays tax reform. That's much needed. That's depressing that that's not going to happen. And I hope, when they come back, that they can like really draw up a bill that reforms the system, adds technology, and makes a lot more sense for everybody.
Well, I think that there's way too much, garbage going on between both parties. And then within the side of the Republican Party itself, you've got enough trouble. I mean, you would think that, these guys would stand together at least and try to get something done, but they didn't do a very good job of that either. So that's kind of disappointing. But I don't see a lot of change coming there. I mean, it's been bad. I mean, I think we as Americans are only seeing how bad it actually is in Washington right now because of Donald Trump, because he's relentless with his Twitter and with calling out everybody. You don't usually always hear all this stuff, right? It kind of goes just behind the scenes, but you're getting a guy who's blasting out on a daily basis the problems that he sees while he's there. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, no, I think it's true. I mean, everybody's interested in what he is doing. I mean, love him or hate him, I mean, the guy is super interesting. And I mean, what he says and what he does, and I mean, just fascinating to observe. And yeah, I mean, people are, I remember the 90s, I was like, I wish people would pay more attention to politics. I think it'd be good. Now I'm like, I wish people wouldn't pay so much attention to politics. It's like, you can't even go anywhere. I mean, everybody's debating and arguing and talking about this. But I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have to just have these people that are in office now just retire and die before stuff gets done. John McCain, Arizona is huge trouble because of Obamacare. They had enormous price increases. They've lost a lot of their Obamacare coverage. I mean, here he is voting against it. I mean, I don't get it. I don't know I'm very curious what's going to happen in November if voters remember this or if they even care.
I think they'll remember. I think this is going to cause a problem. Someone's getting exploded up here. Guys like McCain don't belong in the center of the House anymore. I mean, again, nothing against John McCain, but old people that have been there for 1,000 years, career politicians do not belong in Washington, D.C. That's the swamp. And, of course, we got our guy, Anthony Scaramucci. What do you think of his actions this week?
You know, I love him. He's just talking like a traitor. I mean, I guess he has to learn the rules of what you say to the press. But, I mean, he's talking like a hedge fund guy. He's talking like a traitor on the floor of an exchange. I mean, you know, it's interesting because he comes in and basically says what he thinks, which is what the president does. It's like the most entertaining thing going on in the world right now.
No, I mean, listen, I'm a street guy anyways, right? So I'm really down with what they do, and I love the rant he gave out, and all the, you know, listen, I use as many F-bombs as the next guy. I just don't use them on air. But I mean, I think he's going to do a good job. You know, I've talked to Anthony, you know, many, many times, and, you know, I talked to him that I felt Trump was going to win, you know, when he was still going for, who was his second choice? You know, it was Cruz first, I think, right? Or was Bush?
I know he wasn't initially a supporter of Trump.
Trump was his third choice.
Yeah.
He was his third choice. But in the meantime, he worked hard once he got on the team. And I had said to him, oh, no, Trump's going to win. I mean, I just had that feeling. But, you know, we look at all these things that go on. And of course, we just don't get anywhere. And I think that's the saddest thing. But, you know, part of it, I think, has to do with, you know, people think, like, acting presidential. Let me ask you this, okay? Donald Trump, he's not presidential as we know a president to be, but was Bill Clinton presidential with Monica Lewinsky? I mean, again, I'm just asking. To me, it doesn't bother me. I like that the man's out there and that he speaks his mind and you know where you stand with him versus the slippery stuff that goes on behind the scenes. So does it bother you that he's not what they call presidential?
Well, you know, he said, actually, when he gave the speech in Ohio, he said it's easy to act presidential. You know, you can just come out here and you can read a script and you don't have to make anybody mad and you just kind of cruise through your term and maybe do a couple of things and not really do any big change. And he's right. I mean, it's easy to be like that. It's hard when you stick your neck out on the line. It's exhausting. It's mentally taxing. I thought that was an excellent point. And speaking of Anthony, you know, I love the fact that he comes in. He's like, we're going to fire people who are leaking. I mean, that absolutely needs to be done. And there just has to be, he recognizes it, Trump recognizes it, you do, I do, that there has to be some really drastic change going on, or we're just on this course for, like, oblivion.
Oblivion. And before we go, because you're going to educate all the people to change all this stuff, how's the education podcasting going, the financial stuff, and what's
awesome.
Up next?
Okay, so we had a really interesting one. It's actually posted right now. I interviewed three college students, about like what do they know, and gave them a little quiz. And you know, they don't really know very much. One's dad happens to be a banker, so she was kind of a little more informed. But they talk about what they're taking in college instead of financial literacy. And one thing is Art of the Aztecs. So I'm sure that's going to do her really well when she goes out and buys a home and establishes her life in the world, Art of the Aztecs. Anyway, it's great. And then we have a couple more coming out of the National Endowment for Financial Education, and John Stossel with Fox and ABC News is going to be on the podcast too.
And Bubba's going to be on when he comes to New York. So that's
we're going to co-host it with me.
I will be loved to. Jane King, you are the best. I appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
And that was our friend Jane King, who always, as I like to say, brings good things to light. But again, she's, you know, right there in the heat of the battle in New York. She's in the media and she understands the business from both sides, plus the fact that she's got a little farming background as well. So she's pretty well balanced from, you know, her standpoint. And I think she's telling you things that, you know, we talk about all the time. And I think there's big problems out there. We can only play the hand that we're dealt, as they say, but it does create some anguish and some problems. You can see her. She's on, about 200 or 300 outlets right now from coast to coast. And so you can catch her news reports. But in the meantime, Jane was brought to you by Casper Mattress. And, of course, for you listeners of the Bubba Show, Casper's offering $50 towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com. And, of course, they make the great mattress. It's the new platform style with – you know, the Well, the pressure relieving memory foam and breathable springy layer come together to create a perfect sleep surface. Anyways, if you want to take advantage of that, you can go to Casper.com to get $50 off of your thing. It's CasperTrial.com/TheBubbaShow. Again, that's CasperTrial.com/TheBubbaShow. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm as well. We'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert on technical analysis. And Matt Demeter, we've got, I guess I could say, I wrote the other day, Houston, we've got a problem. Obviously, the markets are not ready to really turn the corner. And I think in my eyes, the key thing to really watch here now, I mean, I think all the upside targets have really been achieved. I think your numbers are solid and they've been good. But I think that what we're really not seeing is the volatility that ties in with it. And without any volatility, markets have a big problem making much bigger moves or making reversals. That's just what I see. Give me your thoughts, please.
Yeah, well, I think we're still in a melt up. My targets have been working more as speed bumps, more like stall areas. We've each time I come up with a next resistance zone, we hit it, we pull back a little bit, and then, you know, we just move to the next one. So looking at this latest one with the NYSE composite, when we got to about 11,950, that was where I wanted to see a serious top there. I still have another one higher that, I think, you can always say, well, you have another one higher and that could be a target for the next bull market. But when we got to this one at 11,950, I was looking for RSI to have gotten overextended in daily indicators and on daily chart. And it just didn't reach as high as it was supposed to go for a top. So what I think is going to happen, where we are now, I think we're going to get, we might get, some chops, some sideways movement, or we might get a little bit of a pullback. But then I think we're going to probably push higher. And then we'll just have to, that next target up is somewhere between 12,350 and 12,430. And we'll narrow that down once we get, if and when we get closer.
I mean, just again, this is one of the things that, markets that are forming either a top or a bottom, they can extend in this. I mean, if you go back into 87, before the big meltdown, I mean, it was from August until October, it was painful just because, again, when you suck volatility out of the market, it changes a lot of the dynamics because, again, we haven't actually exploded past the levels you assigned, but we haven't gone down either, so it makes it that much more of a challenge. And then that, obviously, if you're trying to trade, it really takes it more, makes it tougher because you don't get any movement or swings, right?
Yeah, I mean, you want to deal with, at least in the, day to day, week to week, you want to see at least some movement to the upside, some movement to the downside, you can see when it gets oversold or overbought. Now I'm looking at, ranges that are very tiny, and the overbought, oversold condition is changing in very, tight ranges. So, it is frustrating and it's difficult to trade. with volatility, I'm kind of interested in the VIX. You know, we've been talking about targeting the VIX in the eights. I don't know. We're very close. We got to 8.84.
Right. Yeah. 8.84, which is amazing.
Yeah, and that's starting to – that could have been – that's within the margin of error of my rising target line, which is about 8.36, 8.4. So, you know, it's getting close. I do think at some point, you know, we're searching for a top here, and exactly where it's going to be, you know, we'll have to see. But I like I'm saying, with my next target up for the NYSE is about 3% higher. So we'll see.
Now, again, look, one of the things you and I both know from being around in the business is that, you know, we set, you know, our levels, we look at them, we make our trades accordingly. And if they don't work out, that's why we use stops to exit the positions, because we're not going to sit there and knowing that, you know, even though all of our work suggests that this should happen, that we're also working on a percentage and a probability model, not something that is 100% absolute. And I think that's something important for everybody to understand, is that, you know, you have to be able to, the key in this whole business is to limit losses and maximize the profit. Would you agree with that, sir?
Oh, of course. You know, and yeah, so, you know, when we take a short position, we'll do it against a resistance line. And then, you know, we'll, most of the time we'll get a little bit of movement in our favor, and we'll take a little bit off. Then recently, because, you know, this is just a melt up, where we'll pop that line and we'll stop out of the rest. And, you know, we'll make a small profit, but then we'll have to, you know, we'll have to wait for the, you know, the next one. Now, you know, we could play it from the long side. I, you know, this is where, you know, although I'm a technician, I fundamentally have a hard time buying into the market at these, you know, valuations. It's a little, it's frothy. The, you know, there's some euphoria in there. It's just hard for me we can do it as a pair trade, where we can go long something and, you know, stay short something else. But I just can't go, you know, straight up long at these levels.
No, and I agree. Look, I know we're both more technicians than news readers and fundamentalists. But of course, obviously, I do some of it because of, you know, being on air and talking about it. But of course, I don't believe it in either. But I was reading somewhere the other day that the valuations now, although, you know, they don't look like, you know, they're hugely out of whack. But I guess if you put everything into consideration, these are the highest valuations of stocks since 1929 and since 2000. And I guess the EBITDA and all the other things are just that far out of whack. And I go, you know, they keep bragging on how great the growth is in the companies, the earnings, but the earnings are not providing growth. They're providing money for the people that own the companies and the stockholders, which is great, except that they're not hiring people. So, again, from another fundamental standpoint, we're not seeing any real growth, right?
Right. I mean, you know, yeah, the highest price to sales ratio we ever saw was, you know, 2000, and yeah, prior to that 1929. But you know, we're not far off the, you know, on a price to sales basis, where you can't manipulate, you know, earnings you can manipulate, a lot of different things you can manipulate, but, you know, just price to sales is tough to manipulate. And on that basis, we are we're very close to the 2000 highs. So, you know, if you look at that, you look at, there's all kinds of measurements you can take a look at, and they're all frothy, record margin debt, et cetera. But anyway, yeah,
it doesn't matter,
you know,
right?
and, you know, and from a technician's point of view, if you look at the long-term charts, if you look at the, you know, the weekly and monthly charts, you know, RSIs are above 70. They're, you know, they're in the red. This is why I have a hard time trying to, you know, wrap my head around getting long. I get it. I get, you know, you eat the big blow off moves at the end. You know, they're hard to participate in, because they can reverse on you, you know, in a violent way.
I'm with you. Look, it's the old Bobby Show motto or adage, as we always say, the market is always right. Even though we think it's wrong, it's always right. And I talked about a stock like Boeing. I mean, Boeing goes up 40% in 3 months, right? And it goes up 12% in 2 days, a stock the size of Boeing. Can you imagine that? I mean, yeah. Again, but anyway, so what are the banks doing here, man? I know they're still short. I know they're adding, but Jesus, are they getting a little bit concerned? I mean, of course, you know, we always say they have long positions against the shorts they're putting on, so they're really more hedging than anything else. But man, oh man, what are they doing in this market?
they're playing shorter. It looks like now, you know, past month or two, they've been, you know, or maybe more, they've been playing shorter ranges. You know, they'll get heavily short NASDAQ 100 futures. We'll get a small pullback. They'll cover, you know, they're playing, smaller ranges, but they're still, you know, they're still short. They're still 2-1 short NASDAQ, or actually 2.5-1 short NASDAQ. They're 5-1 short Dow futures. Dow really hasn't had much of a pullback all the way along. So they, you know, when that, you don't get a pullback, then, you know, they just keep adding to their shorts. And with volatility futures, are, you know, with volatility so low down in the, you know, we got down to the eights, they've been adding. And depends on which way. If you look at the commercial dealers, which is what I like to look at, they're at about 90,000 contracts long, the VIX. If you look at, you know, just commercial category as a whole, they are up well above 100,000 or 130,000 range. Anyway, that range there is an all-time high. So, if you look at it from that perspective, it's an all-time high. So, you know, there at some point, this is going to reverse. And when you look at that kind of volatility holdings, you would think it will be in a volatile move.
Right. Like I said, we both look for it, but I guess it's like the watch pot but never boils, right?
Right.
I mean, again, you and I both know that there's a sell-off coming at some point. And of course, you're much more disciplined at the way you do things. You're purely, a technician, and you will sit there. And again, you may not buy something, but you're certainly not going to step in. And so, you know, we have these positions, and of course, the dollar. And I think now you like the euro currency to break out again, since it couldn't hold in here. Is that right?
Well, I like the euro from, you know, we got long a little bit early. We were starting to get long at the end of November of last year, and then we had to go suffer a little bit of pain into December, and then we started rebounding right at the beginning of this year in January. So we've been bullish up till, say, the past 3 weeks, and once we started hitting 115, 116, we started shorting into it. And actually, it was probably a little lower, 114. We started our first short position. But here's what I think. I think we're eventually...
Hold that thought, what you think. We'll come back and talk about the euro when we come back from the break. We are with our technical expert, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And again, he's been pretty much spot on. So you got to keep listening and reading his stuff and check out his site at DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, there's a brand new edition of Bubba's Bottom Line available at BubbaTrading.com. We're going to step out here for a break and come back with Matt's answer to the euro currency and more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back. To the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert of technical analysis, and really does a great job. And I don't know, I think the guy works almost as much as I do, like a zillion hours a day trying to prepare all this stuff. All right, Matt, so, you know, obviously I've been bearish and short the euro, and you were giving us an answer that you were short, you're long, and you bought it, and now you started to get shorted and maybe a little bit early. But so what do you see now? I mean, I think what I read is you think it might be going much higher again.
Yes. Well, you know, it's all about time frame, right? So in the medium term, say the next, you know, couple months, I think it can get as high as there's a target at 122.5. So call it 122.5 or whatever, 122, 123. That's where I think it needs to get there. I think it eventually will get there, just about when and time frame. In the short term, daily indicators are, you know, more overbought than they've been in five or more years. I don't have the chart right in front of me at the moment, but it's very, very overbought. Let's put it that way. And it's above its upper monthly Bollinger band, which usually does not last long. Usually that's, you're stretching, you know, that band to the upside, and it forces price back down. So that's another concern. The commercials, the banks, they are heavily short the euro now too. They're third largest short position since the beginning of the euro currency. So, and it's very close to a record. So, if they just add a little bit more to their shorts, which they probably did in the past 3 days, that could be at a new record there. So everything lines up bearishly on the euro right now. So that's why we're short. And we're looking for a pullback to, say, 112, 111, 112. That's probably where we'll cover. We'll take a look at it then. But then I think from there you could get that rally up to about 122.5, and so we'll reverse back to a long position if it looks like it's getting oversold once, you know.
What's your stop to the upside?
Pretty much right here. I mean, if we push
1.1779 or 1.1780, yeah. Where do you puke it?
118 basically.
Okay, cool. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, yeah, we were short. I had my guys short it, and we puked at like 117.60 last week, and then we got back in at 117.40. Watch it go to 116.90 again, and then it popped back up again. So, but I get it. And then now I know a lot of the currencies, obviously, with the destruction of the U.S. dollar, a lot of currencies are overvalued. Now, again, your original target in the dollar was somewhere, 95 or sure, whatever, and I was 94. But again, it doesn't matter. Right. It seems to have no buyers. Now, we know that you and I both know for a fact, it's just like the market goes up every day in the stock market. Eventually, they're going to find some buyers for the U.S. dollar. Now, the question is, where do they come in? Are you willing to step in here in the dollar now? Are you still holding a long position, or will you look to get a long position? I mean, because basically, right now, it just looks like it's never going to rally. It looks like there's never going to be a buyer again, right?
Right. Perfect. Perfect place to buy is right here, where we closed at in dollar futures themselves, 93.11. That's perfect. If we go below 93, get out. We'll stop out there, and if we do break below 93, then we're looking for probably all the way down to 89. I think is the next major support. So yeah, we're long here in the dollar, and we're looking for a rally. There's another support at 89 that would be very significant, but it's just so oversold, and it's the inverse of the euro.
Right.
So,
no, I mean, I think it's even worse than the euro. I know it is the inverse because there's 60% euro is what 60% of the dollar index, but it's just amazing that it just pukes every week. It's like you figure even a dead cat bounce, it hasn't even seen it. It can't even find a dead cat to kick around right now. It's amazing. And, so basically what you're saying is 93.11, you're taking about $110 shot per contract. If it, you should bounce around, if it doesn't, that's your risk. That's a pretty good risk reward model from there, I think. What do you think?
That's what I'm thinking about. I mean, the low I think was right around 93 last week on Thursday. So yeah, maybe you give it a little bit of room, just in case it wants to, pop through that round number. Say maybe.
Well, yeah, we never use round numbers. You and I talk round numbers. We use like 92 or something like that, and somewhere.
Yeah. Exactly. So that, and then you stop out at, and you just then the next target down is 89. You could wait for that, and it, at 89 it would be. If it just kept going from here down to 89, that probably would be the most oversold as I'm not going to say that it's ever been, but it'd be very close, I think.
It's pretty sucky. I mean, it really stinks. It's, again, not that it stinks that it's going down. It just stinks that there's no trade there either. So it's another market that just goes in one direction and they just stop. Right now, of course, on the other side of the coin, the grains have had some pretty good action and some pretty good trading action. And of course, you've been bearish soybeans and they got up to 1048. Now they're back around that $10 level. And that $10 mm-hmm. number seems to be like the key spot, right? It bounced back off of 10 again. So does your mind remain the same long wheat, short corn, short soybeans, or long wheat, short soybeans and long wheat, short soybeans and middle corn? What's your take?
It's just a bigger picture thing. Shorter term, anything can happen. With soybeans, it just hasn't hit what I would call a bear market bottom. So I have a target, outstanding target that still hasn't been touched. And once it is, then I think we get a massive rally in probably, agricultural across the board. But in any case, yeah, soybeans haven't hit that target low. Wheat is probably oversold enough. It's come back to the outside of former resistance. It's now sitting on top of that former resistance. So I don't see any reason why wheat needs to keep selling off. It can. I mean, it could pop back down through some of these prior what's now support. But I'm talking about a very long-term, long wheat, short soybeans until, you know, the soybeans finally bottom
Can you can you give your long-term target in soybeans? I mean, I don't want you to if you don't want to. I understand that. I know that, you know, a lot of the information you give out is proprietary and you don't want to share the numbers. So, but can you give that?
Sure. I can just give a ballpark. It's actually a rising target, and it's in the it's around 8. As of now, it's right around 820.
Okay.
It's a moving target. Okay. But right now, if it were just to plummet straight down, then that's where we'd be looking for the bottom.
Now, do you take into consideration your charting? How do you chart that? I mean, just, you know, because they're obviously they have, you know, new crop, old crop when they're doing, you know, the grains. And so the prices change because of just the new crop, old crop sometimes. Do you take that into consideration or you're just using a raw number?
I'm looking at a continuous futures chart.
Good. Okay. Which, I got you.
So yeah. So that takes some of the problem away, but so it's on the current month. It's on November. So
that's perfect. Do everything right. You account for it because that gets taken out, so that your charts account for all that. And of course, some people don't realize you could be watching, you know, especially like the bond markets. You could be watching the bonds and they're trading at 153.20, and then they roll to December and they're at 151.20, and they don't realize that that's not a drop. That's just where the interest rate was, and that's where the next futures are trading. But anyways, as we're running a little bit later, and I don't want to miss out on anything. What's your feel on the livestock market? We still looking to buy cow or? What's your deal there?
Well, Kyle broke support, you know, about a week ago we stopped out, and I was looking at the individual charts for cattle and hogs. They're not very inspiring. I think they're moving more to the downside.
Yeah, and that's what I think too. I actually thought that the individual, and again, I know you typically track them, the index, but I track, and I thought that the fat cattle, which is the live cattle, is probably in a pretty good spot to be a buyer in the 112 area. But I think the feeders still have some room to go down. And what about hogs? You know, hogs. You called those so perfect for so long, and it was killing me because I wanted to be short them, but you kept saying no, they're going higher. They've settled, but they're still higher. What's your take there?
Well, they are. I mean, hogs are oversold. But I'm looking at the latest, you know, week of action, and it looks a lot like a bear flag. So I think it's moving down. I think it's continued to sell off. And if you know that cow ETF, like I said, if it was going to hold, it should have held. It broke. So I think cows probably, you know, got another leg down. So that encapsulates both hogs and cattle.
Matt Demmer, DemmerResearch.com. As always, yeoman's work. Thanks for doing a great job. We appreciate you coming.
No, it was great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
And that was our guy, Matt Demmer from DemmerResearch.com, who always does a great job with technical analysis. And, of course, he tells you how it is, and we always appreciate that. In the meantime, Matt was brought to you by Audible Books. And for you listeners of the Bubba Show, Audible is offering your free audiobook download with a free 30-day free trial. Give you the opportunity to check out the service, and I personally recommend it. I think it's great. I use it all the time. In the meantime, I do like Fed Up by Danielle DiMartino Booth. Been on the show many times, and I think it's worth a great thing. They got a lot of different books on there for you, and you can do a lot of good stuff for yourself. In the meantime, to check out your free trial, I'm losing my mind. Go to audibletrial.com/TheBubbaShow. That's audibletrial.com/TheBubbaShow. In the meantime, that'll do it for today, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a great day. We enjoy it. Thanks for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horse. See you later.
I just spin around. I want to feel it sway.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.